Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 63. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Lee Van Ham, author of Blinded by Progress, director of both Jubilee Economics and the One Earth Project, and my co-host on thecommongoodpodcast.com. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue after the conversation. We are co-producing this episode with Jubilee Economics, entitled The Convergence of One Earth Living and Voluntary Simplicity. A slightly different version is being released this month on thecommongoodpodcast.com. Lee talks about his recent presentation of three at a half-day meeting entitled Seeking Simplicity, a Workshop for the Soul and the Planet. Then we deal with six central ideas that relate One Earth Living to voluntary simplicity. Number one, living more simply by reducing our consuming. Live more simply by pruning our possessions. Live more simply by pruning our busyness. Four, to live more simply requires a spiritual attitude and practice. Five, to live more simply, an intentional community of practitioners helps. Six, our efforts to live more simply converge with our efforts to live using only the resources of one planet. I supplemented the podcast with a blog called Positive Signs on Central Coast, California. It's about a recent climate change rally I attended. I'll link that blog at jubilee-economics.org in the show notes of this episode. Regular listeners to the Common Good podcast will be familiar with the co-housing arrangement of the Van Hams and the Watkins. Listeners to the Simple Living Works podcast can get some background by listening to my conversation with Carol Watkins on an earlier episode of the Common Good podcast. Also, Lee Van Ham has posted the fascinating blog, Two Households in One House, Can Shared Housing Help You? And Harry Watkins has several entries in his shared housing blog. Links to those items are in the show notes of this episode at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You'll find other blogs of interest by Lee on One Earth Living at theoneearthproject.com.
What does simplicity mean amid the complexity of our lives, our calendars, our relationships, our finances? They're also complex. Shall we think of seeking simplicity as something we do if we have time for it? Or is it a necessity? Does seeking simplicity converge with seeking ecological sustainability or not? Now, if I seek simplicity, will I save money? Is simplicity just about austerity, about doing with less or without? Or is there more to it? Is simplicity primarily a spiritual discipline? Or is it an economic one? Or both? Stay with us. This is a conversation on how to understand simpler living, and it just might help us all achieve some of our values amid today's challenges.
Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California.
And I greet you, Jerry, from San Diego. I like our topic today. It's a great topic. It's one that is a great challenge to our civilization. So I'm so happy to be talking with you about it because you've been focused in the thought and practice of living more simply for what, how long now?
Well, Lee, Reed and I read Living More with Less some 35 years ago, and it had a profound effect on us. And so we've been attempting to live by its five life standards ever since then.
Well, that is a focus, certainly, that has been very fruitful and productive in the alternatives you've created. The website you currently have is evidence of it. And, of course, it's joined you with so many people in various parts of the country and countries that that also seek this kind of alternative to a civilization that it gets ever more complex and is very growth-oriented, which always means economic growth for more and more and more. So how do I ask the question, what is enough, is a biggie? Well, last Saturday, that's what many of us were doing. Many, it means 50 in this case. I was one of three presenters at a half-day event. The event was entitled Seeking Simplicity, a workshop for the soul and the planet. I was just one-third of that half-day together. It was at the St. Paul's Cathedral, Episcopal Cathedral here in San Diego. And I'll say more about it in just a minute, just to get right to what I was focused in. I spoke on a paradigm and a story, the one-earth paradigm versus the multi-earth paradigm regarding seeking simplicity. These two paradigms are outlined in my book, Blinded by Progress. I can't go into them here, but the thing that I took people through a few points of the one-earth paradigm where I thought it especially impacted on the importance of seeking simplicity. And I also said in what I thought was a kind of bold but true statement that to seek simplicity within a multi-earth paradigm is kind of a waste of time, because all we end up doing is tweaking a few things to maybe empty a closet or something like that, but we aren't really changing into how to live simply on one earth. Well, the next thing I did after the paradigm conversation was to talk about a story of two households in one house. And I pretty much, Jerry, put out the question of whether or not people thought we were living more simply or whether we were just doing some things that were good to do given the ecological crises we are in, which are leading us on a very destructive and kind of a death-defying path, although I'm not sure it's defying death all that effectively as far as lots of species are concerned. So in that story of two households, of course, I talked about the shared living that Juanita and I, along with Harry and Carol, have been in now for the last about year and a half. Well, I know that, by the way, that story generated enormous interest. Among the 50 people, there were so many people intensely interested in the alternative of two households coming together in one house. And, of course, right up front, I said that our house, with 2,300 square feet, not quite, actually, was a big house back in the 1950s when it was built, because then the average square foot house was under 1,000. I take that back. The average square feet at that time was around 1,100. Well, now it's doubled that, even though family sizes have gone down. So I just put out the question. I said, well, can you imagine what would happen if every house that has at least 2,300 square feet had at least two households of two or three people living in them? And, of course, it would mess with the housing market big time. But I think it would also really get a lot of people thinking about how to live more simply. So that's in a nutshell what I talked about last Saturday, Jerry. And I know that you spoke with Phil Petrie, who was the convener of this event and the leader of the Simpler Living Group at St. Paul's Cathedral. Now, from my impression is that having such a group in a congregation of any kind is just unusual. And then to have it go on for 7 or 8 years is downright extraordinary. So what do you think is happening there? You've talked with Phil.
Yes, I interviewed him for my recent podcast on Simple Living Works. And I hope that, you know, our listeners will listen to that one too, because Phil was very forthright. He talked about what worked, what didn't work. Actually, it doesn't focus just on simple living. It focuses on community mm-hmm. building. And some people might consider it more of a social concerns group. It's focused on the people primarily in the congregation, so it's building the community there at St. Paul's. And he talked about, you know, what their strengths were and how they keep it going, how they keep their leadership alive and that kind of thing. So it was very helpful to me, and I've recommended it to people in other congregations also who want to get such a group going in their churches as well.
Yeah, I don't know just how Phil thinks about the community building, but in just a moment I'd like to talk more about that with you. What I propose that we do next is that I'll throw out a statement, and then I'd like you to talk about it, and then I'll chime in. And, well, that means I can cut you off anytime I want. But not more importantly, I just want you to say what you've learned in your 35 years of thinking about this topic with a lot of intention every week. So here's the first statement. Are you ready?
Ready.
Number one, live more simply by reducing our consuming. Is that what simplicity is?
Partially. I won't try to share everything I've learned in 35 years about that, but I'll hit some of the high points. For me, it's building a spirit of resistance to advertising, for one thing, because we experience multiple hits every day. Every time we see a commercial logo, for example, that's what they in the industry call a hit. And they've done research on this and found that the average American experiences, of any age, experiences 18,000 hits
Ouch.
A day. Now, these aren't 30-second ads. They just may be a glimpse at a billboard, but every one of those hits adds up to an impact on our lives and an influence on our buying patterns. And so I try to develop a resistance to advertising, and it could be something as simple as when I'm watching TV, muting, you know, the advertisements when they come up, or averting my eyes. Now, we have a satellite TV here so that I can get free speech TV and Link TV, you know, non-commercial channels. But when we watch the commercial channels, we have this gizmo whereby we can pause even live TV, pause it, and go do something else, and then come back, and then fast forward. So we can, there are other gizmos like this available for TVs as well, so that you can just, in effect, skip through the commercials.
So I can see that, resistance to advertising is important, and of course, advertising is incredibly subtle and at times, as well as incredibly bold at others. So you're saying that living more simply, it's a good thing to adopt a kind of inner spirit that is maybe, I don't know about anti-consumption, but it recognizes that being a consumer, being a shopper, being a buyer is not the path that should, that we should start thinking that that's the way that we're going to solve a lot of the inconveniences and lots of the things that we're told it's going to solve.
We're basically over-consumers, Lee, and growth economics, laissez-faire capitalism, depends on us being over-consumers, depends on us going into debt. And so the spirit of resistance says, no, I refuse to go into debt to over-consume, to support a system that's based on gobbling up the earth.
Ooh, I like it. I'm going to move right on after that. Here's the next statement. Live more simply by pruning our possessions.
Rita and I took 10 years to retire. And so, we did this very intentionally. So 10 years before we expected to retire, we said, okay, we're going to prune our possessions by 10% a year for 10 years. Now, if you do the math, you end up with 30% of what you started with. So we were able to move from Iowa to California to our retirement home in just two cars, because we had pruned our possessions over those years. a lot of folks, they wait till the last minute, and then they go into a panic. And then it takes time to find a good home for worthy, useful items. And in some cases, people just keep stuff and say, well, my kids can deal with it. Well, your kids, in most cases, aren't going to deal with it. They're either going to fight over it or they're going to chuck it out. So,
yeah.
If this stuff means anything to you, then you need to take responsibility, and I by that I mean me and all of us, responsibility for our stuff and make sure that they have good homes.
Did you ever write a blog or anything about the just a few of the things you learned and the steps you took during those 10 years?
Oh, golly, thanks for asking. I've written blogs about almost everything we're talking about today. Okay. And so, yes, people are welcome to read my blog, the Simple Living Works blog. And now it's become the Weekly Digest, where I share insights from lots of other people, including you.
Okay, it's time to move on to the third statement. Thank you. Live more simply by pruning our busyness.
Well, this has a lot to do with your approach. Are you going to take, are you going to just continue? Or are we just going to continue in this, a wheel going around and around and around? Now, some people recommend, and I have recommended in the past, baby steps. That is, you just take little baby steps. And this is very common among other simple living consultants. Just take baby steps. But the important thing is you don't just take one step and then another step. You accumulate steps. So you have one step and then you add one, then you have two steps. Then you keep accumulating so that over the years you may have 100 baby steps that have accumulated into a simpler life.
Now, do you have an example of a baby step, Jerry, that you took, for example? Or
Well, sure. A lot of people consider recycling to be a baby step. And it is. And, I put my recycling out to the curb each week, but we can't let that think that, oh, well, I've done my bit for Mother Earth now. I recycle. No, that's just one baby step.
Okay, and what about our use of time? Because our calendars get very complex. And we can be, how can we almost not be rush in a 24/7 kind of culture? Do you have a baby step regarding that?
Well, I'd like to talk about time, because for most people now, especially young adults, time is becoming more important than stuff. That is, having time for their family, having time for themselves is more important even than having lots of money. And so that's why it's important to take these steps. For example, the guys who run the Minimalist blog and now podcast, these fellas cut back from, six-digit figures with corporations in order to have more time with their families. Now, those are big steps.
But I want to make sure that you put the connection to that blog in our introduction to this podcast so that people can go there, because that sounds like a very interesting blog.
Will do.
Did you have something more you wanted to say?
I want to take this one bit further, because when you talk about approach to pruning your busyness, it takes some discipline. And so we can't coddle ourselves. We have to take both the long view. Yes, okay, this is where I want to be in 10 years kind of view, but we also need to sense the urgency. And this is what's really good about One Earth project, is that it gives us the sense of urgency that we can't, if we're 30, we can't wait until we're 90. That the Earth and our grandchildren depend on us taking steps now.
And about 20 million species do too. So here's the fourth statement, Jerry. To live more simply requires a spiritual attitude and practice.
I like, as a Christian, to think about the Lenten disciplines. This gives me a framework to work with. But these disciplines are very common among other religions as well. They'll sound very familiar. One is prayer and meditation. The second is scripture reading. Now, this can be reading the Bible or some other spiritual book that can give us guidance. The fourth is almsgiving, that is, giving away our possessions. It can mean, of course, giving to the poor, but it can also go back to that idea of pruning back our stuff, that is, giving away our possessions. And the last is fasting. Now, fasting, of course, is thought of as a severe discipline where you don't eat at all. But fasting can be seen in a modern way as changing your attitude toward food. That is, that we not only eat less food, but we eat healthier food. We eat locally produced food. For example, we avoid foods that have genetically modified organisms in them, you know, GMOs. We shop at farmers markets. That's how I envision the Lenten discipline of fasting. So those four Lenten disciplines help me in my spiritual attitude and practice. And since Lent starts at the month of February, I just thought
that's
I'd bring
a
it up.
Good connection. Well, I was thinking too on fasting. One approach to fasting that is becoming better and better known throughout our culture as people become more familiar with Islam and its and Muslim neighbors and all, as people, you know, people are getting invited to share in Ramadan. As I understand Ramadan, it's you fast during the day, but then you eat every night. And so throughout the day, you certainly are thinking about food and invited to think about it very differently. But you also don't go into a fast for like 2 weeks or something where you no longer are eating. And of course, those kinds of fasts happen too. And I'm not against those. I just have never done one. I've done 24-hour fasts is how far I've gotten in the fasting discipline, and I think it is it's definitely a way to shift what we're thinking about. I have the hardest time not getting crabby in the last 5-6 hours of a 24-hour fast. Okay, well, let's go on to statement number 5. To live more simply, an intentional community of practitioners helps. And here I'm thinking how you said Phil Petrie was talking about building community. What are your thoughts about being not just doing this, you know, as an isolated individual, but seeking simplicity, but to do it with in the company of others?
Well, I taught a class at a community college about simple living, and then we formed a simplicity circle in Sioux City, Iowa. That's been, golly, 15 years ago. Frankly, it didn't last very long. At that time, Cecile Andrews had written her book about simplicity circles, and simplicity circles started to pop up around the country. And so there many of them are still going. Cecile Andrews still is doing that, but I see them morphing into broader subjects. For example, Cecile Andrews, now up in the Seattle area, has her circle talking more about neighborhoods and community living. These simplicity circles many times focus on tips and, you know, just various things you can do in your daily life. And people tire of that very soon. It needs to be more, needs to be broader than that. It needs to talk about other issues and how other issues are related to our daily living. And that's where St. Paul's Cathedral comes in. They too take a much broader view. For example, young adults seem to be much more interested now in issues and causes than they do in joining something. So that's why these kinds of groups focus on a wide variety of things, may just about parenting, for example, rather than just on simple living. Now, I continue to speak from time to time when I'm invited. For example, I'm speaking in February to a group here in Paso Robles called the Paso Robles Peace Circle, and the topic is simple living. So simple living can be integrated into a number of other settings.
Yeah, as you're talking, you know, to me, simple living is, in fact, part of a worldview. Earlier I referred to whether you can do simple living in a multi-earth worldview, and I don't think it's very fruitful there, but if you can bring it into a one-earth worldview, then, you know, a worldview is connected to so many aspects of life, and so to seek simplicity in the ways we put together in our whole livelihood, our whole way of living, our way of thinking, that is, in fact, an ongoing driver in a life, I think, that seeks to live in an earth-sized way instead of a super-sized way. So I can really see why simplicity circles didn't stay in kind of a narrow way of thinking about simplicity, but moved into other aspects of a worldview. Certainly parents have their hands full trying to teach a simpler way of living as a really great way and better way than what the culture has to offer, because children are, you know, part of those 18,000 hits you were talking about every day. And so it's parenting is a big challenge in that regard. Well, here's number six, statement number six, our last one. Our efforts to live more simply converge with our efforts to live using only the resources of one planet. We've talked about that already some, but what else would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to speak more in terms of policy than just individual efforts in this regard. And you may want to comment on this too, Lee, that the San Diego City Council recently, in a unanimous vote, moved toward 100% renewable energy by 2035.
Yeah.
And they claim that this is going to be an enforceable ordinance.
There's certainly I see a growing intention in the San Diego region for getting things right around the environment and ecological crises. I don't want to claim more for a policy like this than it is. On the other hand, nor should we claim less. I mean, San Diego is the eighth largest city in the country. New York Times reported on this vote because they saw it as significant. No other city of this size has yet made a commitment to 100% renewable energy. So this, by 2035, that's 20 years from now, I think it would be possible to do it quicker if we really, really wanted to, but that may that people could certainly challenge that. Nonetheless, I'm glad it's there, and you know, this also has become a bipartisan issue now. I mean, there's certainly lots of partisanship that still happens around this, but in San Diego we have a council that is a 4-5 split, 5 Democrats, I believe, and 4 Republicans. The mayor's Republican. A lot of action is being taken toward a plan of sustainability in our coastal town, because there's plenty of concern about what's going to happen to the coast as, you know, sea levels rise and we feel the heat of intensely hot days, which is encroaching on San Diego's image of having perfect weather, stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot underway. How about you?
Well, I'd like to speak about my county, San Luis Obispo County, which is north of you 300 miles on the central coast. San Luis Obispo City, which is the county seat, is doing a lot around these issues also. For example, just a few months ago, the city divested any investments in the fossil fuel industry. They've unanimously opposed the Phillips 66 rail spur project, which would allow Phillips 66 to build and transport fossil fuels on railroads, and which we've seen has become extremely dangerous. The city has upgraded its water resource recovery facility to save energy, save water, and save millions of pounds of a year of carbon emissions. And they have signed the Compact of Mayors and pledged to implement the city's climate action plan, which was adopted with mitigation and adaptation measures in 2012. And I'll be blogging about this and other things on the Jubilee Economics blog because of an event that I attended around the Paris Climate Conference months ago.
Good. I just wanted to say I like your I like that you brought us to the issue of policy, because doing things individually is good, doing things in a congregation is good, all these are just invaluable. Bringing together a group of people where we reinforce each other and all is good, and we need policy change. We really need to seek more simplicity and sustainability for One Earth Living at the policy level, because without it, we aren't going to get there, that's for sure. So thanks for calling attention to that.
You've been listening to my conversation with colleague Lee Van Ham. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. Had some fascinating response lately in regard to the Simple Living Works podcast, episode 61. John DeGraff, who was my guest, said, "Honored to be interviewed by Gerald Iverson for his Simple Living podcast. Gerald also published the series of Lenten speeches about time and overwork I gave at an Episcopal church on Mercer Island, Washington, a few years ago. They are mostly still relevant and relate as well to affluenza." Also, in regard to that episode, Bonnie said, "We'll listen when I have a little time to concentrate, but congratulations. I don't attend church here. Jerry is better. Churches are a great place to meditate and do good work for the community." In regard to episode 62 with author Tim Kasser, Kathleen said, "I've been simplifying and decreasing my goods for a while now. It's put me in a good state of mind. Good to know I'm on the right track." And Carla said, "I have lived on needs only for several years, and God meets them so faithfully. It has been all an intentional effort of my growth in Him." Bob Seitz, blogger for the Lutheran Magazine Online, paid tribute to Simple Living Works recently. See the link to that encouraging article in the show notes. Pastor Amy Beveridge of Bethel Lutheran Church in Templeton, California, and blogger at thegodjournals.com, said recently in regard to my blog, Positive Science in the Central Coast, California, "Thanks, Gerald. I've enjoyed reading the update on water rights. You do some fascinating work." Thanks to all of you for your encouragement. You can produce your own customized version of Alternatives, Who's Risen from the Dead Anyway, for Lent and Easter. You're welcome to assemble and copy a version that meets your local needs. See the show notes for tips to create, produce, distribute, and promote it. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscription to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, the Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Economics. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce half-hour podcasts twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.